Hello and welcome to the MK Mental Health Hour. It's John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Leah is unfortunately not with us. We are recording remotely because of the state of isolation that the country is currently in. But we hope you are all well, keeping nice and safe, keeping indoors, and more importantly, washing your hands. I'm John. I run Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. For those who might not have heard about us before, we are a mental health support organisation in Milton Keynes. So we support children, young people, adults with anything that might be impacting their mental health or well-being. But we also do a lot of business training with organisations. So this week we have moved everything over to being digital. So we have not had any stop or delay in providing people with the support that they need. And locally, we're looking at working with a variety of charities or different organizations whose communities might need some extra support at this time. But today we are going to be speaking with the lovely Jade from Expertise Tuition, and the show today is going to be covering, with the school closures, what are children experiencing, what might parents be experiencing, what the knock-on effects are of schools being out to children development, to parents or relationships. And so we're going to be exploring that with Jade. So welcome to the show, Jade. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Staying well?
Staying really well, yes. It's been a challenging week, but yeah, it's been good.
I think it has been for a lot of people. Yeah, so your background before opening up Expertise Tuition, which is this online tuition organization, you're a teacher yourself, so you're a qualified teacher.
Yes, so I am a qualified teacher and former deputy head of sixth form. I used to teach at a school in Luton. I run Expertise Tuition, which is an online tutoring agency providing one-to-one and group tuition to students with experienced qualified teachers. We have a fantastic team of teachers delivering live lessons. And they cover all subjects and all levels.
Is it particular ages or is it a variety of different types of children?
So we start predominantly from year six, and we go all the way up to A level and some university level, actually. I mean, we get a variety of requests, most of which we can accommodate, and subjects.
Okay, good stuff. So your background in teaching graduated, I suppose, into being deputy head of sixth form. So why did you have a particular interest in teaching or an interest in supporting children?
So throughout my teen years, my parents are foster carers. So I grew up in a household supporting foster children. And actually, one of the things that I noticed was that in terms of educational achievement, a lot of them really struggled and needed that extra support. And as I was a little bit older, quite often I would be helping out with homework, etc. So it was at that point that I realised that I wanted to work with children. In particular, working with looked after children was something that I was quite passionate about. Quite often they've moved from placement to placement, so their education suffers, and sometimes, you know, they it's not necessarily a priority for them personally if they have been moved several times, so they often fall behind. Supporting them was something I was keen to do.
I suppose online tuition allows that, not necessarily just ease of access, but also continuity with the same teachers that they can tune in for lessons for.
Exactly, yes. So, you know, once they're allocated a tutor, they will have that tutor for the duration of their tutoring. So that always remains consistent for them.
Yeah. And have you noticed, with schools being closed and all of the isolation that's going on with parents or with children that you guys have been supporting, or I imagine you're part of a few different groups that talk about these different things all the time, have you noticed a change in children's behaviour towards education or how parents are dealing with it or trying to cope with it?
I mean, it's challenging for children at the moment, being at home and staying motivated. I think home independent learning is a challenge in itself, and that support that parents aren't necessarily familiar with supporting students for long periods of time, or their children for long periods of time at home. So yeah, there has been a lot of questions. I've spoken to many parents this week, asking for support, asking for tips, advice on how to keep their children engaged whilst at home for this period of time.
Yeah, it's difficult, and we're going to be having a look at that today, how we can help parents to keep their children engaged, but also for the children and the young people who might be listening, why that is so important. So we're going to be having a look at what parents might be noticing after the schools went through the closures after this. Welcome back to our discussion tonight, which is talking all around school being out and we're in, making sure that we can talk about parents, what they might be going through from the perspective of schools being closed, children learning from home. And with that, Jade, we've got from Expertise Tuition. Jade, what might parents start noticing if with their children, because school closures and because they're having to work from home, will they see changes in their children, do you think?
Yes, I think so. With children being home for long periods of time and having to study at home now, parents might be noticing a lack of focus, a real lack of motivation, particularly when there's little structure to the day.
Yeah.
When they're at school, they have that real structure that, you know, they've got their lessons, they have break time, they have lunch time, and this is quite repetitive, and students know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So with that change in studying from home, it's really difficult, and it's actually difficult for students to not see it as an extended holiday.
Have you seen how children are treating it that way?
I think there's a variety, yes. I think there are some that feel like this is a period of downtime. I had a parent contacting me asking for advice because her son was using this time to watch Netflix and play on Fortnite, and was actually doing no work that was set by the school and had no motivation. You know, he saw home as very much somewhere where he can relax. So I think she was looking for strategies to motivate him and to...
I imagine so many parents are in that boat, because I know a few that have reached out to us and just sort of said they're just incredibly unmotivated, and it's a holiday. They can't get them off of their computer, or can't get them off their phone, or they're just spending the entire day in the living room watching TV. And so what might parents be going through as a result of that? Because we would probably see quite a lot of frustration from their part. So are the parents concerned? Are they expressing concerns? Or is it just something at the moment that they're recognising as... I imagine they don't share the same view as the children or young people. I can imagine they're quite under pressure to get this sorted.
Yes, absolutely. They are under pressure. And they feel as though a lot of parents are putting a lot of pressure on themselves, and you know, they're not teachers.
Yeah.
And they are taking on the role as teachers temporarily. And a lot of parents as well will be having to work from home. So as well as working from home, they are trying to be teachers as well as doing household tasks as always. So there is a lot of pressure there for parents. But I think one thing that I would say is, you know, structure in the day for children is really important. So creating some kind of schedule, which the child can have their input in as well, is really important. And having them stick to that, and it's regular and something they're following all the time, every day.
Schools have a timetable, right? So it's basically mirroring that over. And from our point of view, we recently set up family group sessions. So we set up from our mentoring service, sort of emotional support for families as a group, because there might be, what we've kind of noticed recently is that with the children that we support, a few of them are happy that school is out, because that might be the stem of bullying, it might be the stem of the issues or their kind of emotional need. So that's, with that being over, children don't have that exam stress anymore. They don't have bullies around them or any other potential issues that might be causing them some distress. So now it's kind of like a freeing moment for a lot of children, that they can relax and they can really have a laugh when actually they really do need to focus more than ever on having that real strict structure in place. As a result of all of this going on and the self-isolation, we did set up those family groups to try and deal with any irritability, because families at home, and I don't know whether you would agree, Jade, but they might start getting a little bit on top of each other. And especially if the parents are juggling a variety of things like their own work, or maybe elderly people as well that they're trying to care for or look after. And we're all being encouraged to look after our neighbours as well. So that could cause some fractious relationships and allowing people to maybe notice that they're becoming a bit more irritable or snappy at each other. Which I can't imagine is good for children's learning either in that environment.
No, absolutely. And I think it's really important that all children have their own space and they have that time, that downtime, to make sure that those relationships don't become challenging in the house. Mm. You know, if you know, particularly in this period of lockdown, parents and children are spending 24 hours a day together.
Yeah.
So it will become challenging for them. So it is important that they're finding things to do and finding that space and that time to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to have a look at what might be causing some of these issues that you might have noticed that your children are addicted to games or not getting off of Netflix. So we're going to have a look at why that might be happening, but then also what you can start doing about it just after this. Welcome back to the Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we've got Jade here from Expertise Tuition, talking all things children not being in school. So school and colleges being closed, social isolation, and how parents can get children engaged in their learning, what they might be recognising as a result of all of these changes and closures. So before the break, Jade, we were talking about, you know, children at the moment are just kind of in that rut of, or some children, not all children, are in that rut of just spending time on games, maybe struggling to get off the sofa and feel motivated. So we did touch on the lack of structure being there, and usually children have timetables. They're told where to go. They're told what lessons to go to. What else might be the reason why? Because we did sort of speak offline on there being supervision and authority around in schools or colleges. So with that now gone, why is that kind of an important thing that's in place in schools and other education institutes?
Yes, of course. There's authority in school. You know, teachers have that authority in terms of learning, really pushing students to fulfill their potential. And actually, that learning authority is not necessarily there at home. Not because parents, you know, don't want to. It's just a case that home is very much a place for relaxation, as I said before. I think parents are probably struggling. Children will often push the boundaries at home because home is that place for comfort. I think children are also missing out on that socialisation element. And, you know, having their friends around school is a place where that development and those friendship groups are critical as well to learning. And actually not having that is a real challenge for a lot of children.
Because you sort of said parents are authoritative. Parents do have authority in the home. But do you feel it's because home and school are very different places that it's also a different type of authority that parents would have over their children? Because you said about a learning authority, so is that kind of a different, it has a different vibe to it, I suppose?
I guess parents are just used to disciplining students, and I say students, children, in a different way. It tends to be
a bit more of a nicer approach, is it, typically?
Yeah, a sort of softer approach.
Yeah.
Some parents.
I hear it all the time that parents sometimes struggle to get children to do their homework, let alone doing a whole day of learning off the back of what the school or college might have sent out. So it must be quite difficult. And there is that urge or the craving to go out and see friends. And you mentioned about the social groups. So learning in groups can only help really as well, because you guys do a lot of one-to-one stuff, but you also do group lessons.
Yeah, absolutely. And this week we've had quite a few requests from parents actually to have group lessons, but actually the parents have been quite proactive and got the group of students together. They're learning with their peers. So, you know, you might have a group of year 10 students all from the same class that, you know, need that bit of extra support, and we've then facilitated those lessons for them. So although they're not physically seeing each other, that virtual communication is still there, which is really, really important.
And also having other students pitching in, because in a typical classroom, in a typical lesson, if you don't, and I was one of these students, I never knew the answers to anything that was there really, but there'd always be someone else in the class who would either know it or be able to have an input. And now with children who are not necessarily reliant on that, but that's the environment that they're used to, there's no backup to answer these questions if you're just working at home. So that must be quite, I suppose, not even consciously, but subconsciously, that might be quite nerve-wracking to not have that backup of your peers.
Exactly. And not just backup of your peers, backup of your teacher as well. You know, your teacher is someone that you can turn to for support if you're struggling with a subject. So not having that, and not having that guidance, and not having someone that you can just, you know, knock on their door and ask for help if you need it, will also be quite challenging for students as well.
Yeah, and I suppose that could be the stem of why this motivation is such a struggle, why they are choosing to do other things rather than focusing on it, is because of all of this unknown around it. So we're going to have a look when we come back as to what children or young people that might be listening could do to support not just their own learning, but their parents as well. So we're going to be back right after this. Welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with myself, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, and we've got Jade here from Expertise Tuition, talking about school closures, the impact this is having on children and parents, and what we can do about it. So before the break, we spoke about the supervision in school, the social element of school, and why that is so important for learning. But Jade, what can children and young people do to kind of start taking responsibility? Why is it important for their learning, but also their overall development at this time? What could the knock-on impact be if they don't remain consistent with their learning?
I think the key is to keep on learning. And I think that needs to be really stressed. With the cancellation of exams, we've got students that were due to be sitting their exams in the summer. A lot of them are now feeling like they don't need to do any work. However, you know, they really need to keep pushing forward. It's 7-8 months until they might be starting their university courses, their college courses in the future. And, you know, that lack of engagement in any kind of education over the next, you know, 7-8 months could be really detrimental long term.
What effect might it have?
So it could push back.
Well, their learning and development completely, or is it everything, or is it just purely their academics?
Everything. I mean, we've got the social element as well as the academic element. They may really struggle to try and pick up that really hard learning that they'll be doing when they go to college/university.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're not engaging in any kind of learning and then suddenly they've got a full timetable, it's going to be really challenging for them. And you might find that students will be dropping out of university, dropping out of college, because they just can't cope. And it's not that they can't cope. They wouldn't have been able to cope with the content. It's just that they've been out of learning for such a long period of time.
Yeah. And learning in a social environment as well, I suppose, because I think, yeah, I really agree with universities. Universities are really going to have to pay close attention to this and look at getting some things in place for those children who are making that transition, or those young people who are, and young adults who are making that transition from school into, or college into, university, because that lack of learning socially, and that there's going to be, from a mental health angle, that there could potentially be quite a lot of issues that can stem from that. Not only the unknown and the anxiety around it, but also if there has been a complete lack of engagement in learning, there could be a variety of motivation issues, apathy towards, not necessarily just towards learning, but also towards the authority in universities as well, because they would have lost that authoritative person or teachers and everything. So keeping up with learning, but with that kind of teacher authority, can only be such a good thing to keep on top of that development.
Absolutely. And I know it's a struggle because, you know, you're always working towards something. And I really sympathise with students at the moment because it is a really, really challenging time. They've been working so hard towards exams and now they've been told that, you know, they're not going to happen. So staying motivated is difficult. But what they need to do is look to the future, look at what their long-term goals are. They are attending university or college for a reason. Think about that and really, you know, push forward and keep up with the learning so that they can achieve those goals in the future.
And this is not a holiday. It will have quite a big impact if they do take their foot off the gas. Whether they're going into university, whether they're going into college, or even if they're just going from one year to another, this break can, you, when students go back, they will be seeing the impacts of it and quite the big change. So we're going to be having a look at how do parents control that? How can you begin as a parent to get things in place? What can you get in place after this? Welcome back to the Mental Health Hour with myself, John, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we're here with Jade from Expertise Tuition, talking all things school lockdown, school closures, and how parents and children can keep their children or the young people engaged in education and the importance of it. So, Jade, we spoke before the break about the actual knock-on effect to university, to college, to the following year of education that a whole 7 or 8 months of not engaging in learning can have, which is quite dramatic, really. It's quite staggering that it can have such an impact, not necessarily just on learning, but how children and young people are engaging socially with each other and stuff as well, and the issues that might come from that. So what can parents do to get their children engaged in learning? What are the kind of steps that they might be able to put in place to ensure that there isn't that break and that they carry on?
I think getting children into a set routine is really important. A regular routine which has, you know, and a realistic routine, actually. That it can't just be full of study. It has to have breaks. It has to have some social activities in there as well. Also setting some firm rules for children to follow. So these could be on the number of hours that they're going to spend on their games.
And watching, when, I suppose, as well. Like when, exactly. When is a good time to do that throughout the day that isn't going to... Because I know for a fact, I previously have thought, you know, I'm working from home or I'm going to study at home or whatever. And I end up thinking, yeah, I'll watch an episode of something at lunchtime. And then it comes to 3 o'clock and I've binge watched 5 or 6 episodes. And I suppose timing of that thing is quite important too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think particularly the morning time is quite a good time. You know, if they're up early, get them doing their academic learning in the morning, and then maybe some more creative tasks in the afternoon. And maybe more of that downtime in the afternoon when they have done that, their kind of core subject, their core learning. But I think it's great.
Sorry, with routine and making sure that it's realistic, would you say that typical 6.5 hours that they would usually do in a school environment is realistic to have at home?
I think 6.5 hours of independent learning at home is too much.
Okay.
If you think about the typical lesson, a teacher wouldn't spend a student in that lesson wouldn't spend a whole hour working solidly on a task. There might be some teacher input in there, they're doing some group activities, and then they may well do some independent learning. So I think actually maybe 3 hours a day as opposed to the 6 of doing some academic learning and then doing some more creative tasks, taking a break, you know, going for a walk, reading is really a really good relaxing activity as well. So,
and we've had a few conversations about building well-being into that day, because there's one thing being, you know, sat at your computer doing things, but we do have an hour of exercise that we can get every day. We need to be getting it, because otherwise that is a quite slow slope. And we did speak as well before, Jade, about the importance of even the little things, like waking up, brushing your teeth, having a shower, getting ready for the day as normal. Because from a very, very early age, we get used to putting on that uniform, and we get used to getting ready for a day of learning. And I can't imagine, I don't know whether you've seen any children or young people doing this at the minute, still wearing their uniforms at home. I can imagine it's probably the first thing that goes when they go out of school.
Yeah, no, actually I haven't. It's not something that I've come across yet. But actually, you're right. I mean, that routine is really, really important. And sticking to that, you know, making your bed, making your breakfast, and then going to your designated area for work. Those things are really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And having those building in. And a message to parents as well is that if we are looking to get our children engaged in this way of learning, having a routine, having these rules, and making sure that they're looking after their well-being as well, we need to be modelling that behaviour. So we need to be doing that ourselves if we are working from home, taking those regular breaks ourselves, being strict with ourselves about how we're managing our day, so that the children can see how it's done. So it's our opportunity to show them how this sort of work is done. That's brilliant. So we're going to come back shortly with a bit of a roundup of all of these tips. And then, Jade, we've got a bunch of, or you've got a bunch of free resources and lessons which we're going to tell everybody about after this. Welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with me, John, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we've got Jade here from Expertise Tuition. So we've had loads and loads of great tips and advice on the show today for any parents out there who might be experiencing some unmotivated children at home because of all the school closures. Some really important tips off the back of today's show is to be realistic with a learning routine. So having 2 to 3 hours of quality learning time, independent learning time for your children every day, setting those rules. So rules around technology, when they can be accessed in the home and when they can't be, when they need to be focused on learning. Build in well-being to that as well, even to minute detail about brushing teeth, about showering and getting ready for the day and getting your study space ready, but then also breaking it down later on in the day so the day is finished. But then also from a parent's point of view, we need to be modelling those behaviours. So we need to be doing that as much as our children are ourselves, so that they can see how it's done. And it's our perfect opportunity, if you are working from home, to do that for our children and young people. So Jade, I know that you've got loads of free resources, you've got loads of things that are available. How do people, what is out there and what is it that people go to find out more about you?
So we have lots of free live lessons running where students can sign up on our website. We've also got a study and wellbeing schedule, which is really important. So students can also download that from our website, www.expertisetuition.co.uk.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much, Jade. Really appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next week and we'll be talking more workplace things. So around businesses, how they might be able to manage people at home. And thank you all so, so much.